to the rest of the world.
And he used an illustration. This is what he calls us. He says that we're to be salt and light in the world. And if you think of salt and light, what makes them salt and light is they're very distinct. They're different. Like if you put salt on some food, it's a different flavor, right? It brings out something different. Compared to the darkness, light is just very distinct. It stands out as different. So Jesus, when he's calling us as a follower to stand out as distinct from the world, different from the world. In the ways we carry ourselves, in the ways we interact with people, that we should be different because we're followers of him. But sadly, today in America, this often isn't the case. Or maybe some of the differences aren't necessarily good differences. Sadly, a lot of people in the church, capital C, I'm talking about us, I'm talking about everywhere, don't look all that different from the people outside the church. Still in the church, we see people carrying pride and anger, ready to take offense at any wrongdoing. And if there is an offense, then refusing to forgive. Looking to condemn in any moment if somebody does them wrong or makes a choice that's outside of what they think is right. And that's not how it's supposed to be. As we're living as disciples, followers of Jesus, it should affect how we relate to others. So we're starting a new series this morning entitled In Christ with Others. So we talk a lot about what it means to be in Christ, being a follower of Jesus Christ. But this series, we're going to focus on how that should affect our interactions with others. So in Christ with others. And the main principle is this, that our relationship with Christ is meant to affect how we relate to others. It should affect, my relationship with Christ should affect how I relate to those around me. And I think this series is needed because we as a whole, as a church, have wrongly made our faith purely an internal thing, an individualized internal thing that's private between me and God. It happens in the quietness of my mind, in the privacy of my home, and it's just a me and God thing. But that's only a part of it. There's supposed to be a communal, outside, external part of faith in the ways that we treat others and interact with others. Our faith should result in us a new purpose, a new outlook, a new way of caring ourselves, a new way of viewing other people, and how we respond to other people. And so a lot of this plays out in our interactions with others. So this series, we're going to be focusing on how our faith in Christ affects our interactions with others. Today's passage has a very basic tenet to it, a very basic thing to follow. And this is what is kind of a main verse in there is verse 5, and it says this, in your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus. So in the ways you relate to one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus. That following Christ means imitating not just what he believed and the principles, but a key aspect of his character and the way he interacted with others. And that's what we're going to be talking about this morning. So this morning's passage is in your bulletins, Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 through 11. I'll read this through, and then we're going to talk about it and see what it has to say about how our relationship with Christ should impact our relationship with others. Okay, Philippians chapter 2, verse 1. Zoomers, I have not acknowledged you this morning. Thank you so much for logging in. Get those Bibles out. Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 through 11 is our passage this morning. All right. Praise God for technology, right? There could be somebody from the other side of the world listening to these exact words right now. Pretty crazy. So welcome, Zoomers. Okay, Philippians chapter 2. Starting at verse 1, this is what it says. Therefore, and this therefore is right after he just got done talking about how great the gospel is and living a life worthy of the gospel. And now he says, therefore. Therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and one in mind. Verse 3, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves. Not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus. And here's his mindset. Verse 6, who, this is talking about Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant and being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven, on earth, and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. All right. So from this passage, our central truth is this. This is the main thing I want you to be able to take out of here this morning. This is our central truth from this passage. Following Christ means following his example of humility. If you'd like to fill in the blanks, that's your first fill in the blank. If that's something that keeps you grounded, that's there for you. All right, so following Christ means following his example of humility. If we're going to call ourselves followers of him, that includes following him in his humility, being humble. It's not an optional thing. It's not extra credit. It's not advanced Christianity. This is like the graduate level. No, this is, if you're a follower of Jesus, it means following him in his humility. Look at verse 1. This is describing a Christian. If you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, comfort from his love, sharing in the Spirit, this is defining a believer, defining a person of faith. So it's saying, if you are a person of faith, and then he says in verse 3, if this is you, then in humility, value others above yourself. So we normally value ourselves, but he said, hey, here's something I want you to do. Value others above yourself in humility. And why do we do that? Verse 5, this was the mindset of Christ. This is how Jesus was, and if we're going to be his followers, that means following him in this. And then verses 6 through 8 laid out the amazing way that Jesus showed his humility. I mean, consider this. He is God on the throne. He was there at the beginning. All things were made by him and for him. He is on top of everything, and he willingly set that aside to come be a little baby in a manger, born to unwed teenagers, and getting ready to, and he enters the world as a person. So that's already a huge step down from God to person. That's like infinite level drop. But if it were me, if I was God, I wouldn't have come as a baby. I would have showed up. I would have been like 7'2", like 320, all muscle, and I'd have a little glow. I'd have some glow. I'd be powerful. I would show up as the King of Kings. I'd be a ruler, and I would, you know, because I'm God. But that's not what he did. He was a little baby laid in a food trough. That's how he showed up. And then he lived his life as a servant, as a carpenter, and kind of as a nobody. Instead of being on top of society, he willingly took the bottom rungs of society. That was who that's who Jesus was. That's what he did for us. And so it says, if that's the mindset of Jesus, and we're his followers, if we're trying to be like him, if we're his disciples learning from him, well, we should take on that too. If it was that important to Jesus, it should matter to us as well. So this is the mindset of Christ, and it's not just here. It's all over the Bible, all through his teaching. I challenge you to read somewhere without finding his humility. It's everywhere. These are all the words of Jesus. Jesus says, I did not come to be served, but to serve. Humble. He also says, the first will be last, and the last will be first. Humility, coming in last. He says, when I was hungry, you fed me. When I was thirsty, you gave me something to drink. When I was struggling, you helped me. All this stuff talking about helping the lowly, those are hurting, the marginalized. He announced his kingdom by saying, blessed are the meek. Nobody wants to be meek. No, blessed are the meek. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. So all these lowly qualities, he's saying, that's blessed. And then when it was time to go to heaven, he'd done his job. He's getting ready to go to the cross. He ends his time with his disciples by putting on a servant's robe and washing their feet, which would be like if he says, hold on, Tom, I'm going to leave it before I got to clean your toilets. He did that because that's how humble he was. He was wrapped his glory in humility. And yet for us in the church today, we don't wrap our faith in humility. We wrap it with pride. We wrap it with arrogance. And it makes us look bad, the church overall, and it makes God look bad when we carry ourselves this way. Too many people think, well, God's on my side, and I puff out my chest, and I can talk down to people because I have this moral authority because God's on my side. I'm right. They're wrong. I'm going to heaven. You're going to H-E double hockey sticks. And so therefore, I'm right and you're right. It's this prideful thing And we take this faith, this beautiful thing, and wrap it in pride, and it becomes ugly. And Jesus modeled something very different, and he calls us to something very different. The same faith, but wrapped in humility, putting others above ourselves, valuing others. Look at how Jesus, that's not how Jesus was. He didn't show up with pride and arrogance. He didn't puff out his chest. He welcomed sinners. He spoke with gentleness and respect. He made time and valued the marginalized. The only times he was got harsh with people, it was because of the prideful, arrogant, the Pharisees and the Sadducees who used their faith as a reason to view themselves as above others. That's when he got mad. That's when he was harsh with people, was in those exact settings. So let's follow that example of Jesus, of surrounding our faith, clothing our faith in humility. So what is humility? Let's get into this a little bit, because a lot of us right now are kind of like squirming, like, I've been told my whole life to like believe in myself and I could do it, and you're important and all that. So I really don't like this whole you're nothing. Well, hold on. I'm not saying you're nothing. Here's a definition of humility, how I like to think of it. And this is your next fill in the blanks. Humility is not thinking less of yourself, but thinking of yourself less. So not thinking less of yourself, like, oh, you're terrible, you're worthless, you have nothing on, but instead thinking less of yourself. So in verse 3 and 4, it says, not looking out to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others. Typically, left to the flesh, our whole life is oriented around ourself. What do I want? How does this circumstance affect me? What are my interactions? What do I have to gain from this situation? It's very subtle, but it's our motivations and all the things we do all about our day is oriented around self. Our own preferences, our own wants, our own interests. How is this going to affect me? And all the people in the world are doing the same thing. I do that, you do that. We all do it looking out for ourselves. And a lot of the conflict of our world comes because I'm looking out for myself, you're looking out for yourself, and then when myself, what I want comes in conflict with what you want, well, there's a problem. And that's a lot of the friction we have in our world today, as we're all looking out for ourselves. So living with humility is distinct from the world. It's different from the world. The whole fighting to get ahead, I want my position. Living in humility is very distinct from that. In a world where everyone's looking out for themselves and trying to advance their own agenda, what if you lived not looking for yourself, but for the interests of others? Orientating your life not so much on what I want, but on the needs of others. So when it says look out, not looking to your own interests, but the interests of others, that's saying thinking of yourself less. Like not what I want, but what do they want? Example of this in my own life. I come home, I'm tired in the evening, I just want to plot, and my kids want to play a game. I don't want to play a game, I'm tired. But they want to play a game. So maybe I can put their interests above my interests right now. And we all have little times all throughout our days we have an opportunity to do this, to think of others, to put others above, ahead of ourselves. This is how Christ lived and how he expects us to live. But beware, there is something in you that wars against the humility that God is calling us to. There's something internally in you that the Spirit has to overcome, and it's in this passage. It's in verse 3. He says, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Okay, there it is. Inside of us, we have selfish ambition, we have vain conceit, and they war against your rising humility that the Spirit is growing in you. So as the Spirit's growing humility in you, your selfish ambition and your vain conceit are putting their foot down and say, oh, hold on, push back. What are those two things? Selfish ambition, that's the desire to get ahead. Ambition, self-centered ambition. I want to get ahead. I want to advance. I want to advance my own agenda. Life is a competition. I'm winning. You're losing. As long as I'm ahead of you, then I'm in a good place. And we're all doing this, trying to get ahead, climbing the ladder. The literal translation for this word is rivalry. So he's saying, do nothing out of rivalry. So rivalry, if you have a rival, not only do you want to win, you want them to lose. Right? I went to University of Washington. University of Washington's rivals are the Washington State Cougars. Two teams I'm rooting for, Washington and whoever's playing the Cougars. That's who I'm rooting for every week, which was USC last night. Good job, USC, yeah. But that's a rivalry, and that's unhealthy, right? And we start viewing, so he's saying, don't view others that same way in a rivalry. The selfish ambition, this desire to get ahead. Watch out for that. Also says, do nothing out of vain conceit. That's thinking highly of yourself. I'm better than you. What I want is more important than what you want. The thing I value matters. The thing you value, dismiss it. That's not as important. This idea of vain conceit. These things are warring against this call to humility. Okay. How about this? Tom, you're asking me to put others first, to willingly lay aside my position and let others go ahead in life, not just in the line at the grocery store, but in line, like putting others before me. Here's the problem with that. I'm always at the back. You're asking me to give up my position in society. I have to fight for the very bottom. I've got to devote my day to getting ahead just to get to the bottom. And you want me to now forego that? It's hard to forego something when I have very little of it. When I have no status to give, and then the little status I have, you want me then to let someone else go ahead of me in life, to put others above myself. Yes, Jesus did it, but he had all the status. I don't got any status. I'm on the bottom. The world's always telling me I'm on the bottom. They make it clear all day long, I'm on the bottom. And now you want me to get any little status I do get to willingly let others go first? Too much to ask. Okay, so here's a help with this mindset. To help walk humbly in Christ, here's the first thing I want to point out. To define your value in Christ rather than according to the world system. Define your value in Christ rather than according to the world's this system. See, the problem with that mindset is we've bought into what the world says about us. World tells you that you're not worth anything, that you're at the bottom. You think, well, I guess I'm not worth anything. I'm at the bottom. And I got to bust my butt to try to get above somebody. At least I'm better than that guy over there, right? We buy into this. The society is always slotting us, subtly slotting us into these where we are in this societal structure. And the temptation is, because we live in society, is then to define ourselves by how the world defines us. We think, well, I don't have much to offer. I don't got much money in the bank. I didn't make it very far in school. I don't have a lot. Whatever the thing, you know, we think we go by society's definition of us. But that is not who you are. That is not who you are in Christ. We need to be reminded how the King sees us, the true judge sees us, not how the world sees us. He says that you are a child of the King. You are a son and daughter of a King. You're prince and princesses. You're dearly beloved. You're valued. You're chosen. You're special and dear to him. He says that you're accepted. You're pure. You're righteous. You're his chosen beloved. So we need to stop looking at what the world says about us and viewing us by what the world says about us, because we're going to fall into a poverty mentality. You know what poverty mentality is? If you don't got much of something, it's hard to give up any of it. So if you don't have much of something, you want to hoard what you do have because you don't have enough. And there's never going to be enough, and it's always a struggle because it's always on short supply. So the most basic example is money, right? If you don't have much money, it's hard to be generous with your money because there's never going to be enough, right? And so if you have a bunch of money, if you win the lottery, you're going to be very generous. But if you don't have very much, then it's hard to be generous because you're just this poverty mentality that's not going to be enough. Well, we do the same thing with status and position. We think, I'm so lowly, I got nothing to give, I got to fight for all I got. Sure, Jesus can forego it because he's got it all. I don't got any of it, and the little bit I have, I need to hold dear to it because it's not going to be enough. No, you are rich in position. You are valued greatly. Now, the people around you may not know it. They don't realize they're in the presence of a prince or a princess. Of an heir of the kingdom is standing behind them in the grocery store line. They may not see it, but you know by faith, believing in the words of Jesus Christ. So I can let them go first because Christ let me go first. Because that's my position. I don't have to have my way because all I have in Christ, I have all so much in Christ, I can forego this thing. I don't have to demand my respect because I'm already accepted and valued and cherished by the most important, the judge of all, our Heavenly Father in heaven. This is why it's so important to understand our identity in Christ, so you don't buy into the lie that you're of lowly position, lowly status. No, you're a son, daughter of the king. And because of that, yeah, you can let people go first. It's easy to be humble when you have such a high position. So to help us in this, the second help is this. Stay rooted in your identity in Christ. If those truths help us to be generous to others, to be put others first, to walk humbly, willingly letting others go before us, well, then we need to stay rooted in those truths. So stay rooted in your identity in Christ. Look at verse 1. Therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, any comfort from his love, any common sharing in the Spirit, tenderness, compassion, and then he goes on with it. This is your identity in Christ. He says, oh, your encouragement. There's encouragement to be found in Christ. Being united in Christ. There's comfort. There's comfort to be found from his love, from God's love for you. There's a sharing in the Spirit. There's a leading from the Spirit. There's a guiding from the Spirit. There's participation from the Spirit. So key to remembering and living in the reality of who you are is remembering that Christ is my source of encouragement. He is my source of love. He is the one who loves me. The Spirit leads me. I have a sharing in the Spirit and enables me to release my position, my rights, and walk in humility. So that means if not basing our encouragement in being united with Christ, we're setting ourselves up for failure. So if your encouragement is found in your bank account, you're going to be fighting over that bank account, every last bit of dollar. You're going to have to get ahead, right? Because that's your source of encouragement. If your encouragement is found in maybe your friend's words, if people like me and they speak and they like approve of me, if that's your encouragement, well, you're going to do everything you can to be the funniest person at the party and have the wittiest thing to say and getting ahead and putting other people's down for your own approval. Finding comfort in his love. If your comfort is not in the love of Christ, but in the love of someone else, that may work for a while until your will comes up against their will. You know, what you want comes up against what they want. We're setting ourselves up to failure. If you're not sharing in the Spirit, instead being led by the flesh, it's going to be hard not to live worldly, live in the ups and downs of the rat race, trying to get ahead. All right, so let's wrap this up. In conclusion, humility was the mindset of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The one who we are following led a path of humility. So if we call ourselves his followers, we too should walk in humility like he did. So if our lives are characterized by pride and arrogance, self-centered, it begs the question, are you really following Jesus? Can you follow Jesus and not do it with humility? I don't know. It was so central to who he is. Humility is so central to him. So maybe it's evidence if we're walking in pride and me first and it's all about my position, then are we really even following Jesus? And I get that it's hard, especially for us who the world's telling us we're at the bottom to try to put others ahead of us. So I want to leave you with a closing truth, not just a central truth, but a closing truth, a final truth to help us in this walk of following Christ in humility. Closing truth is this. I can put others first because Christ put me first. I can put others first because Christ put me first. He didn't need to do it, but he put me in front of him. I should have gone to the cross. He went to the cross in my place, putting me ahead of him. He's done that for you. And since he's already put you first, so you can now put others first. So be encouraged by what Christ has done for you. Take comfort in his love expressed to you. You are loved, adopted. You're a son and daughter of the king. And your position in the future is perfectly secure. So no matter what somebody says about you, it's not going to take that away. No matter what a society says about you, your position is secure. So let's shine out in the world. City Lights Church, let's not forget what that City Lights Church means,